The following sermon is read from Volume 5 of the six-volume set entitled Puritan Sermons 1659 to 1689, being the morning exercises at Cripplegate. This complete six-volume set of Puritan sermons is available from Stillwater's Revival Books on Calvinism Bookshelf CD Volume 1 in SWRB's 3-for-1 CD Super Sale at swrb.com. This set is also available from SWRB in printed format at swrb.com. Stillwater's Revival Books makes thousands of classic Puritan books and sermons available, free and at great discounts, in print, audio, and video formats at swrb.com. If you would like to join our email list to stay up to date about all the new, free, and discounted Puritan and Reform resources we make available, please send an email to swrb at swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. For more information about the Puritan Publishing Ministry of SWRB, please email us at swrb at swrb.com. Welcome to a continued reading of Puritan Sermons 22. Fourth help to repentance. Fourthly, sit loose to the world. The world is a great pullback to heaven and hindrance of repentance. You may observe that the reason of the rebellion and impenitency of Ezekiel's hearers was their hearts went after their covetousness. Otherwise they took delight to hear. Ezekiel 33:31. That sad sentence, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, was occasioned by a rich man's refusal of Christ's call to repentance. Matthew 19:16-24. Riches choke the work and lift up the heart too high. Great men in the world think they live above all reproof, for Tyrus-like they set their hearts as the heart of God. Ezekiel 38:6, and think to live without control. He that loves the world finds, when called to repentance, that he is loath to leave pleasures. It is hard to renounce riches. It cuts deep to despise wife, children, father, mother, friends, and dear relations. Mark 10:29. He cannot but be dismayed at reproach and sufferings. Sin is the common property of the world. The things of this world is the recompense of impiety. They that sin highest ordinarily succeed most, yet this is the great stumbling stone of the godly. The world makes David almost repent his repentance. Psalm 73. They that will follow God must be strangers to the world. True penitentiaries must be pilgrims in the earth. Fifth help to repentance. Fifthly, see the shortness of life and limitation of the day of grace. Hopes of long life and thoughts of repentance at pleasure may help many a soul to hell. Our life, we must consider, is but a bubble, a blast, a shadow, gone before it well appear, in which there is no certainty. Our time is in God's hand. He hath numbered our days, but to which of us hath he declared the number? Hath he given any man a legible lease of his life? Have the youngest, strongest, most healthy, helpful among us an assurance of tomorrow? And doth not eternity depend on the well-husbanding of this uncertain time? Is there any remembrance of God in the grave, or repentance among the dead? Doth not death determine the eternal estate of men? David's eyes cannot distill one tear in hell, though he called to Abraham for my mitigation of torments. He never so much as begs the pardon of sin. No, that is too late. See, we not men pensive and sad at the thoughts of death? Chrysostom hath told us that the cause of the fear of death is because we live not in the austerity befitting Christianity, but lead delicate and voluptuous lives. Could we make every day our dying day, it would quicken us to repentance. Hilarion never had a tomorrow, and when he comes to die, he hath the comfort of it. O my soul, get thee out of this house of clay. Why dost thou fear? Hast thou served Christ almost 70 years, and dost thou now fear death? If we were to live forever, we must die daily. If we were not defer repentance, we must not determine to ourselves any other time than the present. Again, if we know our time in nature, who knows the date of the day of grace? It is a limited day, but the bounds thereof are not published, that today, whilst it is called today, we may hearken to his voice, lest he swear in his wrath, we shall not enter into his rest. Hebrews 4:3-7. A season of salvation is allotted to the sons of men. The old world had its day, Jerusalem had her day, every of us have our day, but our day of nature may outdate our day of grace. Yet of this we have no assurance, but if it be certain, it were better that the day of our being had never been. For, with the opportunity lost, we are lost forever. Whilst we enjoy the word and motions of the Spirit, we have hope. But if ever these cease, we are undone. Let us startle our souls with these sad thoughts. This may be the last day and hour of my life, but if not the last day and hour of grace, would we hear every sermon as the last? It would rouse our souls to repentance. Sixthly, seriously expect approaching judgment. It is an argument to repentance, and very persuasive thereunto, as you have before heard. The thoughts of the last judgment will cool the courage of the profane sinner when he seeth the day approach in which his secret sins must be laid open. A severe sentence cannot be respited or suspended for the least moment, but must be executed with speed, certainty, and severity. The judge is just, and will then be inexorable. All the shelters of his power, might, policies, riches, honours, by which he staved off reproach, will now be scattered, and vain, and fame vain and bootless. The judge is no respecter of person, a day stored with indignation, which will not be mitigated, but be poured out in full vials. Can the heart but tremble? That is the subject of these thoughts. They that sin with boldness set the day of judgment at a distance from their soul. But if they will provoke repentance, think, with your own, that you will always hear the trumpet of the last day sounding in your ears. Arise, ye dead, and come to judgment. Excellent was the stratagem to stir up repentance, which is storied of a Christian king of Hungary, who being on a time sad and pensive, his brother, a jolly courtier, who needs know the cause of his sadness. O brother, said the king, I have been a great sinner against God, and know not how to die, or to appear before God in judgment. His brother, making a jest of it, said, these are but melancholy thoughts. The king replied nothing at present, but the custom of the country was, that if the executioner came and sounded a trumpet before any man's door, he was presently led to execution. The king, in the dead time of the night, sends the executioner to sound the trumpet before his brother's door, who, hearing it, and seeing the messenger of death, sprang into the king's presence, beseeching to know in what he had offended. Alas, brother, said the king, you have never offended me, and is the sight of my executioner so dreadful? And shall not I, who have greatly offended, fear to be brought before the judgment seat of Christ? A singular cure for jovial contempt of repentance. The sense of judgment is a strong summons to repentance. Seventh help to repentance. Seventhly, seriously apprehend the possibility, nay probability, nay the positive certainty of pardon. I have before told you that repentance is a result of faith. Despair deters duty. Hope in Israel is a great help to repentance. The law leads to conviction, but the gospel to conversion. Despair is the devil's lock to impenitency. Look up, therefore, see, there is mercy with the Lord that he may be feared, and plenteous redemption that he may be sought unto. Psalm 130:4-7. Apprehend, then, the price of man's sin paid, the justice of God satisfied, the pardon sealed in and by the blood of Christ, and proclaimed in the gospel, so that it is thine with certainty, if received with a prostrate soul, and sued out by serious repentance. Nothing needs to deter. God is reconciled. Therefore return unto him. Eighth help of repentance. Eighthly, soak the heart in the blood of Jesus. Take every day a turn of meditation in Mount Calvary. Cast thy eyes on a crucified Christ. Read the nature of thy sin and provoked wrath of God and passionate loves of the Saviour. It is suckling to the Adamine heart and sways it to the most obdurate soul. I have before noted its force and efficacy to repentance. Be persuaded daily to contemplate the cross of Christ. Ninth help to repentance. Ninthly, speed will much facilitate repentance. Sin may be removed before it be settled by custom, but then it is difficult. Youth is pliable to precepts, strong under burdens, dexterous and active in business, when old age is infirm and impotent. The piety of youth is the horror of the devil, the honor of religion, the ease and joy of the soul. Let not sin become customary, if you will ever cast it off, for it will become a second nature. Linger not in what you will be rid of, for the longer you linger, you will be more loath to part. Like Austin's, your anon will never come, and our little longer in sin will last for ever, by the good will of nature. Singly, good is a counsel of Basil. If the thing be honest, keep it to the end. If filthy and hurtful, why dost thou continue in it? Doth any that desires to ease the stomach of choler increase it by a continued bad and intemperate diet? If ever you will repent, repent betimes. Late repentance is really true, but ever difficult. Tenth help to repentance. Tenthly, sue for it at the hands of God. Repentance is God's gift, and therefore must be begged. It is Christ's purchase, the covenant's promise, and may be begged with confidence. Jesus Christ is exalted to give repentance. Therefore go to him in faith. All means are ineffectual without God's blessing. Let therefore prayer enforce all means to this end. Whilst you sit under the word, study the nature of God, examine yourselves, sit loose to the world, see life's brevity and the limitation of the day of grace. Seriously expect the day of judgment, sensibly apprehend a pardon, soak the heart in the blood of Christ, and speed repentance, second all with earnest supplication. Say with Ephraim, O Lord, turn thou me, and so shall I be turned. Jeremiah 31:18. So shall your stony heart be taken from you, and you shall possess this necessary grace of repentance in the truth of it, which God of his mercy grant us.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. You are welcome to make copies and give them to those in need. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. It is likely that the sermon or book that you just listened to is also available on cassette or video, or as a printed book or booklet. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart, from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, I have not commanded them, whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.